Today's reading comes from 1 Timothy 1, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and pleasing, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we are thankful for your word that always comes to our heart and transforms us and restores us. And we pray, God, that may your word be the one that today help us to be challenged, but also help us to remember the power that we receive through you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are in the very last Sunday about our different sermon series related to rooted. And somehow, one way or another, we root our lives in different things. And we can sometimes choose that. Some other ones are happen just because we are following whoever is telling us to do something. But what we're trying to explore, and we tried through these Sundays, was to take a decision of say, how do we want to be rooted? And one of the things that we have learned is through the United Methodist Church and the history of this church, we can find many powerful and valuable places to root ourselves. So we have learned from learning to root ourselves in the belief, and especially knowing that we have that mix of also orthopathy and orthopraxis, like the mix of learning that what we learn, also what our emotions are connected of how we act. We talk about the beautiful meaning of grace that we have within the Methodist Church. We also talk about holiness as a place to feel unleashed. And just a few weeks ago, we brought up how important it is to have a kingdom vision so we can take risk-take ministries and get involved in risk-take ministries. We talk about also how we're connected. But to be really connected, first of all, we connect with the truth. Who is the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And last week we talked about what it means to disciple. Now all of this is coming in a very special moment within our United Methodist Church. Some of you probably were aware about that general conference that happened during last week that is still right now in process of debrief and understanding what does it mean and what it's going to take us. But one thing I want to let you know first is that we hear so many voices, and sometimes it can get confusing. But I want to hear you to hear clearly what Pastor Milton and I, in connection with what we have heard the bishop is saying, what do we believe we are at Northern Hills? So if somebody says, if you are a person from Northern Hills, United Methodist Church, what does it mean? What are the kind of behavior expected from you? And this is what we want us all to agree. The first one is, everyone that comes to this church is welcome. Amen? Everyone. Is it welcome just the ones who speak English? Thank you. Thank you. Se los agradezco profundamente desde lo más profundo de mi corazón. I am so thankful. Do we also welcome people who speak Korean? How you say thank you in Korea? Yes. Any other language around here, guys? You know? Okay. Do we welcome people who look like me? Thank you, guys, really. Do we welcome people who look like you? Do we welcome people who look very different from us? Now, does welcome mean, okay, they're going to stand up over there, and you're going to let them stand up over there? No. It means radical hospitality. It means, have you ever seen a Cocker Spaniel dog? Does any of you own a Cocker Spaniel dog? Or you have? Have you seen how they behave when people come close to you? What do? They just jump on you. and they are so happy to have you there, to the point that you feel a little bit overwhelmed sometimes with them, right? Very different from cats, that they just look at you and they are like, did you arrive really? Do you have food? You know, no. So we are going to welcome people as Cocker Spaniels. Like, we are so glad that you are here. You belong here. We want you here. Actually, we're going to make every way, every space, so you can be part of us, not just to the worship service, but to classes or to when we go to stores, to the school, to our job, people are starting to recognize who we are as Northern Hills because we're getting involved in new things. So, for example, when I'm driving to Harris, to the school with Pedro, I see sometimes Christian and Natasha because she's dropping her children. So I know in the way I behave, Natasha can look at me. And I hope I have behaved nicely, Natasha, I promise. And there are times when I am in the store in Walmart and I greet a person and I confess that if they are from the traditional service, they are like, hi, Lupina. And I'm like, hi, I don't know your name, but I have seen your face. And my kids are like, I'm sure, Mom, that's a person from Northern Hills, right, Mom? And I said, you know, that's one of the best problems that we have. That wherever we are, people recognize us. So where we are, we extend the welcome. We extend the welcome. So where you are, I want you to extend that welcome. You are representing, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ where you are. Amen? So when people look at you, they're going to say, I want to see the example of Christ, and they can see you. But they also can see a person who belongs to this congregation. I want us to go there and be able to be that radical in our hospitality. Then the next one, everyone here is loved. As the scripture says, love who? One another. Now, again, I'm going to repeat this, and probably at this point you can preach this sermon instead of me. Do I want you to love each other as Barney the dinosaur? No. That's a love of like, I love you and you love me and we're happy. No. The love that we are talking with the Lord Jesus Christ is a love where we are going to accept each other and we are going to grow together and we're going to find ways to keep maturing in that love. When you are married, there are times when marriage is awesome and are great things happening and you are very happy. But there are times in marriage where you say, I need to remember that I love you. I need to remember when I'm hearing the 35 guitar playing at night the same song 20 times that I still love you, you know? But there are times where challenges are really hard and they can kind of almost break that marriage. But the only reason you stay together is because the love of Christ in the other person and the love of Christ in your life allows you to say, no, this is not just you stay where you are, I stay where we are. It's about let's sit down and heal together. So that's the love that we want at Northern Hills. There are places where you have become the way where God has healed my heart many times. As a pastor, we are broken sometimes too. But when I remember you guys, when you have shown grace to me, when you have been able to see me and say, I love you, Lupina, you have brought healing to me. Especially in those places where I have been making mistakes. But there are places where you are going to need that healing. You are going to need that person who comes and walks with you in that moment that is difficult. And we want everyone here to be capable to do that through the love of Christ. Amen? But this is another thing. Many times we see these two things, welcome and love, and we stay there. So the next aspect that we want us is to remember that we are all challenged to grow. As that scripture says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transform. I showed you this before. To be transformed. So what does it mean? It means that while you are together loving each other, we all are expected to grow. All of us. We are all in this process of sanctification, meaning you are cleaning your heart, your life, from those things that are not part of that original creation of who you are that God did when he created you. Does it make sense? So there is a process, guys. There are some things that they are really sticky in your life and they just stay in there. And you try to get rid of it and it comes back. But it is in this process of saying, you know, I want to learn the word of God. I want to be exposed with other Christians so I can grow and mature. The exposing to each other is difficult. Because one thing that happens is, specifically in this church, we have ways of thinking very different. We think very different. But with that, we challenge each other. We grow together, because if the intention of your heart is to do God's will, and my intention too, in that process, we will grow together. So it's not about just staying where we are, but it's about saying, how is it that my walk with Christ is going to help Alexis? How is it that my walk with Christ is going to help Mike? So we all do this together. That's why also we have the Right Now Media. I want you to be exposed to the scripture as much as you can. I want you to be able to reach that opportunity of learning the word of God wherever you are. Because it is through the word of God that our lives can come to a balance and know the real value and what's really important for all of us. So then there is another thing we do together. And this is what we talked last week. What do we do? Disciple. That's the fruit of what we are as Christians. We disciple. How do we do this? It's specifically in this congregation by reaching, teaching, and loving. That's how we do that. Now, when God is planning to give fruit in a place, it means he's investing in that place. And this week, in the midst of all the conversations that are going in General Conference, there were certain things that happened in Wednesday that make me feel God is investing in this congregation. I was coming back from Mexico. As many of you, if you read my Pastor Amiga, you knew I went to see my parents. My dad had an accident, and he ended with 8 stitches in his head. And so I wanted to see, because my mother edits information. And I wanted to be sure he was really right? And I found them getting older. And I found them loving each other. And I found them loving Christ. But one thing that touched my heart is they cannot hear each other that well, so they shout all the time. So around 9:30, 10 p.m., they both go with their walkers, maybe racing each other, and they shout to each other, "Let us pray. It's time to pray." I'm like, "Okay, Jesus, you can hear them." And then they said, the first thing they said is, "Lord, we give you thanks for the church where you put Lupina to serve. We pray for that church. We pray that your spirit is there. And we pray for every pastor that is serving you right now." And my dad says, "Amen." And you know, that remind me, there are people out there praying for us. There are people out there who are walking with us in this place. So when I arrived to the office on Wednesday, there is this lady coming, and she's new. And she says, "I'm moving in this area, and I'm looking for a place where I can belong. And I want to see if I can come to this church. And I read that you have something about quilting ministry. What is that?" And it happened that Wednesday, it was the quilting ministry. And I'm like, "Let me take you with my girls here." So I walked this amazing Wesley Annex where all these wonderful creative women were doing these amazing quilts in there. And when I opened the door and I said, there is a new person in here. I wish you guys could see the radical hospitality that these women gave to this lady. They stood up immediately and started talking to her. "Diana, where are you?" My girl, Diana, was rocking for Jesus. She was like, "This is what we can do. This is..." 2 minutes later, the lady's laughing loud with the other girls. And I'm thinking, God, this is radical hospitality. You are bringing people. And they can be rich in different ways. And they are right now reaching to her. I am thankful. And then that night, it was powerful. That night, we had a man who came for the first time. And he said, I'm coming, I'm broken, but I want to bring my life back to Christ. I want to remember my baptism. And Pastor Milton prayed over him, and then he brought him to the front, and we remember his baptism, and we pour out water upon him to say, remember that you belong to God. Then this man, Jim, took him to the Sunday school class, and Jim Cooper allowed me to share this story with you. Jim Cooper told me, who is the teacher, that during that morning he was wrestling with that class, and he was saying, God, why am I having a hard time with this class? And after talking and reading and all the different scripture he needed to read, he came to the point of saying, God, do take it over. You take the Holy Spirit, take it over. But I feel you want me to talk about how you are that ladder, that weight of the truth. And that's all what came to his mind. So when he's teaching the class, he shares that and says, the Lord Jesus Christ is our way and brings forgiveness. And this man who came for the first time, he raised his hand and says, wait, so that means that every sin that I have committed, every wrong that I have done is forgiven? And Jim told him, yes, through the power of Christ. But you see, when that happened, that was a very, very loud shout from God saying, I am not giving up on you. You as Northern Hills United Methodist Church, you as a Christian that is here in San Antonio, you as a person who has been redeemed by Christ, you have a message of hope for people. It is 2019 and we still find people who need to find forgiveness. We find people who are looking for meaning in life. We are looking, we have people who are saying, I want to belong. And the only way that can happen is when the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be the one able to put us together. So the invitation is, do we want to be part of their story or not? I sat yesterday with a group of women from the conference, and these were the United Methodist women. And it was outstanding in the amount of ways that they were dreaming of doing ministry. Out of the box. Out of the box. And I was so impressed about it, and it brought me hope. It reminded me of the scripture in the Old Testament of Joel saying, people will have visions. And I saw many visions where they were trying to connect with the community in new ways. And by that, I also saw confirmation of God walking with us. So all of these things that I told, are we in agreement with that? Amen? Are we all saying, God, we're going to commit to grow in these ways? How are we going to end? I don't know. But this is the place where we're going to begin, and that's how we're going to grow in faith. That's what is important today, because today we're going to talk more about how do we challenge ourselves? How do we grow in ourselves? And in all this time, well, we have been learning about these rooted and trees. One of the things that I have learned too is that there are so many things that a tree needs to grow healthy. And the nature provides that to the tree. The same way, there are so many ways where in our relationship with Christ, we need to learn to grow healthy. We even expect that with children. This is something that at the Northeast Independent School District, they require every child to learn about the seven habits tree. And are things like be proactive and think win-win, synergize, all of these things. So that's coming with the schools. All the teachers at Northeast, you agree with that, right? All right? Yes, you do that. So the same way we're called to grow. And the way we do it here is through means of grace. And it says, the means of grace are ways God works invisible in disciples. Tell me that word. That one. Strengthening and confirming faith so that God's grace in and through disciples. So in other words, it's like we are together doing things that perhaps are not too obvious for people, but these are helping us to grow. Do they help us to be saved? No. Who's the only way of salvation? Jesus Christ. But they help us to grow, to mature in that faith. And one of the ways is prayer. And we talk about that in the scripture today. I especially love that last part of this part of the chapter 2, verse 2, I'm sorry. It says, pray for all the people, give thanks. You should pray for rulers and for those who have authority. Pray for these leaders so that we can live in peace. And I love that section. This is the way intercessory prayer helps us to live. We are called to live as people of prayer and intercessory prayer. Prayer is very powerful, guys. And sometimes for some people can be uncomfortable because you haven't done it a lot. But when you start learning it, it's like learning a second language. You need to learn to tune yourself to know when is God answering. And you learn that God answers in different ways. And he moves in different ways. I love C.S. Lewis, and I love how he explains prayer. He says, I pray because I can help myself. Anyone has felt like that? Amen? You know? I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. That's what prayer is about. There are times when you come to God and say, okay, God, this is my prayer request in this very nice box. It even has a blue ribbon. And if you do all of what I ask in this prayer box, life is going to be wonderful, and I'll be your first one praising you on Sunday. And when you open that box and you start explaining God what you want, sometimes God is going to give a look to you, and he's going to be, yeah, right. Has it happened to you? So then you are like, okay, he's not answering as I want. Sometimes we say, I'm going to get angry at God because he's not answering as I want it. And I told him I wanted everything in this box. But when you keep going in prayer, then you say, okay, God, let me edit my box. So I can take this out, this out, this out. But if you answer all of this, it's going to be fine. I'm going to be your best proclaimer. I mean, English and Spanish if you want. But then he doesn't answer as you want. So then you go back and you say, okay, God, we need to talk here. You're not answering. Are you real? Where are you? Here I am praying for all of this, and you're not answering. What do you want to tell me? But you see the difference? Now you ask, what do you want to tell me, God? And there is a point where God is going to say, let me take that box from you, remove it. Let me give you what you really need as an answer. And when that happens, your last prayer is, Lord, may your will be done, not mine. But it's a process, and we need to learn in that process. And there is a place where you accept his will. So, but those are processes where we learn to talk to God. And in our denomination, we find different ways to grow in that faith. We call them works of mercy and works of piety. And some of them you can do them by yourself. Some of them you can do it in group. And we have talked about these ones in many ways, but I really like the one that you have in your bulletin. Do you find it? It's the one that looks like a circle. I encourage you to check it out there. Let me see. Where is mine? Here it is. So this one, I really would love you for you guys to have it in a place where you can come back to this often and just check it. Because it has a lot of great points in this. When I saw it, it reminded me a lot when you see that the plate that people show you to learn to eat in balance. And you have the, you need the protein, and then you need the vegetable and the fruit. Do you know what I'm talking about? So think about, this is your spiritual balance. How do I keep myself strong as a Christian with this balance? So if we go together, first of all, it talks about how important it is to pray. Prayer, it helps me to engage in regular times of prayer. Find your own groove. Morning for some people, night for others. But start having that conversation as we talk until you are tuned with God. You can understand, you can discern his voice, how he's answering to you. Then the next one is what? Scripture. Guys, we are not going to understand or know who is the Lord if we do not know the scripture. You're going to find so many people that feel highly theological strong when you come and ask them, have you read the Bible? And the answer is like, no, but it's just what I have heard. No, you can't do that. Go to the right source, and that's the scripture. You want to find the value of your life? Do not go and ask Dr. Phil. Go and ask the Bible. Do you want to understand the value of your family? Go to the scripture. Do you know you want to know how to spend your money? Go to the scripture. Do you know you're struggling with your behavior? Go to the scripture. What does it tell you? How is it that God is calling you to go? Then the next one is mercy. What does it mean? Love and serve those in need in tangible ways. This helps in both ways. You make a difference for people when you do that. There are many people who write back to the church after Dollars of Hope because we help them to make a difference. But there are places where God is going to call you specifically to get involved and make a difference. And that's also a way for you to remember every single penny that you make is coming because of who? God. So it's a way to remember everything that I have belongs to who? To God. Then the next one, conferencing, is when you meet with others and you strengthen your faith. That's why right now Oasis is having that initiative of starting small groups. It's important for us that you connect with other people and through that you can grow your faith. And if you want more information, let us know. We want to be able to provide that to you. That we also purchase right now media. So through that, you can also grow your faith at home. And then abstinence. You see, this is about fasting too. Many times when we think about fasting, and I have been exploring this, we're talking about food. But there are other things we also need to stop doing. For example, if you know that if you are checking Facebook every second and that's changing your behavior and you're wasting your time, perhaps you need to have some time of abstinence of that. Maybe in other cases it's a specific TV program that distracts you from what is the important thing. Maybe you're getting in conversations that you shouldn't get. So that's part of that abstinence. It helps you by not doing that specific action, whatever it is, helps you to focus more in Christ. Find what that is and focus back in Christ. And the last one is the one that you are doing here, worship. There are things that can happen just when we are with the body of Christ, just in those places. So with that, we want to help you to be able to grow in your faith. And especially today, now that we're coming to this time when we all going to share this holy sacrament of communion, I want you to come to this place remembering who you are, first of all, for Christ. You are a person who has been loved and transformed. But I also want you to understand that each person that is here and all of those who will come to this church, everyone has an important value for us. But we're going to learn to love each other and to grow in faith with each other when we come to Christ first, and through him, we love each other. So I invite you to commit your life to keep accepting God's love and loving each other through God's love. Amen.